Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Truly I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come into his presence with singing. Know that he, the Lord our God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And we know that in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Oh, let us rejoice, and in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. And glorious, let's say glorious, that means spectacular, phenomenal day it is. It is Sunday, May 8th, 2022. And you've tuned in into the manner of restoration, a time of revitalizing, rejuvenating, and setting the highest level of expectation. And to you, in listening radio land, and serving God pays off. By and by. I want to say that. And some of you are celebrating and engaging in Mother's Day activities. And by the way, I'm going to say happy, blessed Mother's Day. It's not just on May 8th or the second Sunday of May annually. It is to be celebrated every day, for mothers are a treasured gift that God gives us as a way of showing his love. Mothers are the extenuating arms that reach and grasp and hold and nurture and care for God's creation. That's right. And let me tell you something. We always lean to the fact that being a mother, it has to be our nucleistic setting, environment projection, where that our children look at us and call us mother. Let me tell you, sometimes a woman may not have biological children, but however, she's able to reach out and touch and influence and nurture the lives of others who may be disassociated from their natural mothers, and she acts as a mother. That's right, in caring for God's creation. And we should be reflective of the greatness, of the level of importance that a mother, whether it's the nuclear or biological mother, or those who are acting and deceived as a mother, portray in our lives. And let me tell you something. Thank God for that gift of motherhood, because it's a treasure. It's an honor, and it's a privilege that we all should be glad to acknowledge and even be glad to be in that position, because motherhood is a very high position. You're taking custodial care. Sometimes that person is not intermediately so under your roof, but somehow they're in the conglomeracy of the network. That's right, of the catchment of your influence. Sometimes as being an educator, there's so many students that I have to be a mother too. In times past and even in times present. And so many come back. I mean, years later, 35 years and counting. I can't believe it's been 35 years I've served in the educational capacity of the sector of education. That they come back. The very students sometimes that were problematic, not able to conform to the systematic strategy or striata of things, come back and say, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for the love you showed me. And thank you for just being a firm presence in my life. You know, that's an honorary privilege to me when that comes. That's better than getting a plaque or ascribing to receiving a medal of honorarium. The honorarium is when students come back and say thank you. Or I see the level of success that they've acclimated in their lives. It lets me know that I am blooming. I am blossoming where God planted me. And that's what it is. Sometimes we don't understand our assignment. God gives us two categorical assignments. An assignment in the natural and an assignment in the spiritual. And let me tell you something. The spiritual assignment is the base level foundation in which all of the things in our lives, in the natural realm of things, are structured. And it is the spiritual aspect of our being that quickens us, that anoints us with the ability to carry out our naturalistic duties. That's right. And let me tell you something. We must be able to balance the harmony of both. But it starts with acknowledging God as the creator. And the scriptures clearly tell us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. Those who profess to know him and those who refuse to acknowledge him. God still created them, because don't forget, we were spirit children before we became natural creations upon the earth. That's right. And this body is but an oyster shell. The trueness of our identity lies within the perimeter of that shell. That is our spirit and our soul. Our soul is the reflection of our personality and our, that's right. And we know that wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And even so, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he breathed spirit. See, spirit is breath. You can't see it with your eyes, but the evidence of its presence is captured by the eye. And the scripture tells us that God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And thus Adam became a living soul. That means he became a living, quickened imprint identified by the breath that was breathed into him. Isn't that wonderful revelation? Isn't that wonderful knowledge? Well, it is. It truly is. And before we became physical beings, we were spirit children. We were in the existence level of cosmic reflection. God knew us all. He knew us before we came to this earth. That's where the term predestination comes from. It means that he knew our destiny before we even set foot upon earth. He knows us all. He knew what our names would be. He even knows the amount of hair we have upon our hands. He even knew what our assignments were. Who do you think gives the assignments? We think that we're the ones that ascribe to assignments based upon naturalistic perception. But no, assignments are identified, are structured, and organized on the cosmic level. So remember this. This whole earth was structured on the cosmic level, and it materialized on the natural level. That's why we get the term celestial, which deals with the heavens. You know, there's three heavens. You know, the sky above the earth, the astrological projections of space, and then the third heaven is where the kingdom of God is. So in all of that saying this, God spoke everything into existence. It was cosmic, it was verbal, and it materialized. This is what the scripture says, that God said this, his word will not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which he was set out for. So in knowing so, in understanding that we have a creator, our level of association starts with having an established relationship with the creator who made you, who made me, so that we can get a clarative understanding about where our chart, where our path will take us. And sometimes when that path becomes problematic, it becomes overwhelming because we're connected to the creator, we're able to get guiding perimeters and information as to how we need to chart our pathway of travel. And it starts again with the Creator. And in knowing this, we're able to understand what our purpose in life is. You know, and I know there's many books out there talking about the purpose-driven life, about having the expectations of things you desire to come into manifestation. But let me tell you something. We were predestinated by God before the foundations of the earth were laid as to who we are, what we would be, and our level of association and accomplishment. And know this, that promotion comes from God. It doesn't come from man. God uses man as a vehicle for promotion, but the exaltation, the divine favor, comes from God. That's right. And the more that you understand that, the more that you will ascribe to please God. Because the scripture even tells us, he says, if a man's ways please God, he will cause his enemies to be at peace with him. That means that there's nothing that they can do to prevent you from your level of progression and prosperity. That's right. Because, see, with exaltation comes prosperity. With prosperity comes wealth. Wealth means the ability to generate, that's right, affluency, the ability to manifest prosperity. That's what wealth is. And when you become rich, you're able to stockpile what you have generated from your level of prosperity. Then the wealth, the magnet begins to turn over and over. And then riches is the end result. And this is where we're able to give abundantly to the children of God, to be able to meet the necessities or the needs of those who may be impoverished. They haven't come to the knowledge of who God is and what his power represents upon this earth. And let me tell you something. His power is indeed alive and well and consistent and evident to those who walk in the light of the truth. So that is a beautiful word of knowledge, encouragement, and wisdom today. And let me tell you something. This is a very exciting time to be a believer in the body of Christ. That's right. Jesus is our high priest. He is our Messiah. He is our mediator. He is the mediator between us and God the Father. And when we accept Jesus Christ as being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Father God, who had to turn away from us because of sin, because trust me to tell you, the scripture validates that we are born into sin and shapen unto iniquity. That is the very essence of who we are when we're birthed into the world. We look at the newborn babies and we say, oh, she's adorable. Oh, he's just phenomenal. He's just so handsome. Still born in sin and shapen unto iniquity. The only way that we take off iniquity is when we take on the name of Jesus Christ. For God has given him a name above every name. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And this is when God's able to look at us. That's when we translated just being formerly his spirit children and his disobedient children to being his beloved children through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on his everlasting arm. Kind Father, Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this time of fellowship, for restoration, for inspiration, for motivation to go forward, Lord, and forgetting those past mistakes that we made, those past errors that we made, Lord. And we know that through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven, we are covered, we are blessed, and we are healed. We're asking that you touch, bless, and deliver all day under the sound of my voice. Let them know that you are a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all they are able to ask and even believe. And Father God, we thank you right now for that victory which overcometh the world even our faith. We thank you for the acknowledgement and the manifestation of physical healing in the body, whatever the condition is. Father God, you know. But we know that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the very chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. And Father God, we know that your hand has already touched those who are in that need area. And Father God, for those who are in necessity of a financial breakthrough, Father God, we're asking that you open up the window and pour out the blessing upon all who stand in need, that they are not even able and can't even comprehend to receive. And Lord, where there is no way, Lord, make the way. The windows, where there are no windows, Lord, remove the pain. Where there are no doors, tear down the dividers and make the breath of heaven breathe upon us through finances. For Lord, you said through the witness of Apostle Paul that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and to delight ourselves in you, and that you would give us the desires of our hearts. Heal those relationships that are broken between husband and wife, through parents and children, through other associations of relatives. Lord, we know that Satan is a liar and the truth of God beareth not in him. For you are a God of peace that passes all understanding. And we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit rule over our minds and our hearts, and that you open up the very manner of your word that we're going to instruct today in the power of the psalm, and that you bless it, that you multiply it exceedingly. For Father God, we thank you, Lord, even for peace, the peace of God. Let there be peace, the Ukraine. Let there be peace in Russia, Lord. For Lord, we knew that the very prophecy has manifested that if Russia did not repent of its transgressions, of its disobedience, that its maledictive force would go all over the world. But Lord, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And Father God, when you speak peace, all must adhere. And Father God, bless Israel, Lord. Keep your loving arms of protection around Israel. For Lord, you said, all they that pray for Israel will prosper. We're asking that you guard her borders, guard her people. Lord, provide a safe haven for her people. And Father God, let your shadow overtake them and cover them in the blood of Jesus. Father God, we're asking that even in our land, with our leadership, Lord, allow them to go back to the original placement in which they started, Lord. Sometimes we need to start all over again so that we can be in compliance with your word. For Lord, we thank you that we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And Father God, we thank you on this afternoon. We praise you, we magnify you, and glorify you exceedingly. In my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. When you say amen, that means so be it. It's done. That's right. And just thank God that it's done. You trust God for your financial breakthrough? Well, say amen and thank you, God. You trust in God for your physical healing to manifest? Amen. Thank you, God. You're thanking God for the restoration of your relationship with your spouse, your significant other, with your children and other associated family members? Amen. Thank you, God. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. So we're so blessed today. We're sharing the blessings of God's presence with you. And let us go to the book of life, down Route 66. And we're focusing on the power of the Psalms. We're all the way through the powers of the Psalms. It is a wonderful thing to be able to to just go into his word, for we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. This is our life force and our life source today. And you talking about living life, you want to live life and be alive and flourish, get into the word. Let's go to Psalms, the 9th division. And again, Psalms for new Christians, to those who are just coming to the faith, to those who are seeking strength, edification, seeking the greater knowledge and understanding the powers of God and the presence of God, you need to go into the book of Psalms. Psalms is such a methodological book. It reflects on all various topics and subject matters. The issues of life, times of desolation, of deprivation, of times facing depression, a time feeling hopelessness, and it gives cause and effect. Psalms give cause and effect. That's why I'm always recommending you to go to the book of Psalms and just make that your study guide. That's right. Make it your studying parameter so that you can gain momentum, so that you can gain a more intuitive level of knowledge, okay? Psalms, the 9th division, and the 1st verse. This was the chief musician, Muzalabon. This was conducted, and the musician plays the music. You know, during that time, it was the, you know, the psalms were the songs. It's a poetic prose. That means that the harp, the cymbals, the dulcimer, and even the sackbut was utilized with the psalms. Because again, all songs have lyrics. All songs have melodies. And each psalm takes on a different melody, sometimes melancholy. Sometimes David expressed melancholy. Sometimes he expressed exuberance. You know, sometimes he had a high level of enthusiasm and assurance. And then he even went as far as to express joy because he saw what God was doing for him beyond what his natural eyes can see. And the scripture tells us that faith is the substance. It is the matter of things that you hope for. I mean, an evidence of what you can't see. That's right. So this also is reflected in Psalms. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. What is he saying? I will give thanks unto you, God, for I know it is right, it is comely. How many times do we thank God? We're always asking, always telling God what we need, but how many times do we thank God for what we already have? And you know the scripture has spoken to us. He says, because you've been faithful over a few things, behold, I will make you ruler of many. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. He says, I'm going to show my attitude of gratitude by singing praise unto you, by giving you acknowledgement. That's like by making melody in my heart. Sometimes the song of praise is not always externally presented. Sometimes it's intrinsically presented. That's right, because it's a song of solitude connecting you with God. You know that God does dwell in the midst of praise. That's right. The more you praise God, the more that God will acknowledge you. And this is something that we all need to put into motion, not on just one day a week, but every day of the week. Third verse, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in thy presence. That means when those who desire to do me harm are casted away from me, they are removed because God, you removed them. You caused them to stumble. You caused them to fall. You caused them to be taken out of the way. He says, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. That means you stood up for me on my behalf. That's right. See, sometimes your support, you always looking for someone to step up to the plate. Sometimes God sends his support through the spiritual realm. He gives his angels strong agency. You know, there's 9 distinctive aspects of angels, different angels. There's avenging angels. There are ministering angels. There's guardian angels. There are cherubim, seraphim, various types of angels that God knows in categorical expression who to send, when to send, and how to send them on your behalf. 5th verse, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever. That means, God, you've already dealt with these people. You remove them, and they cannot come back. Sometimes when people are coming into your life, you need to pray and ask God, what place does this person have in my life? Some people are on assignment, too. We know that God has definitively so given us assignments, but some people are following satanical assignments to sidetrack you, to cause disharmony, to cause treachery into your life and environment. Some people see the gift of God operating in you, and they want to suck out that anointing. They want to disenfranchise the unity that you have on the level of your spirituality. So we need to be careful who we take in our company so that we're able to utilize the spirit of discernment so that we can identify who these people are and what their intentions are. Oh, thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorials perish with them. That means the very foundations of plans of the enemy that were structured to cause you defeat, to cause you to be hopeless and hapless, to bring down you from the level that God has placed you in. God has crumbled their agendas. He has destroyed the plan of the enemy. And let me tell you something. So many people sit back and they say, well, all this is them. Let me tell you something. No, this is not fantasy. This is reality. Because when God asked Satan, he said, well, where have you been? He says, he's been walking the earth to and fro, seeking for whom he may devour. So that you know, he's on his assignment. And the 2/3 of the angels that fell with him, they're following his lead. That's right. And even think about it. In the book of Galatians, it tells us, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the tactics of the devil, having done all to stand in that evil day. You know, we're dealing with principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to have all 3 levels covered through the power and the anointing of God. But God is already about his business. To those who call upon him for the name of the Lord, the strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are safe. God has already made manifest his promise to us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Because we know that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his presence. Just thank you, God, for being God, and beside you there being none other. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. That means that God is watching. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Stop going around saying, I'm going to pay them back for how they treat me. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I will repay. And see, God can repay in a way that nobody can even explain. Can't nobody stop it. Let them use the spirit of enchantment. The blood of Jesus covers us. And God will stop them in their tracks. So therefore, don't go out there with a vengeful heart saying, I'm going to fix what they did to me. No, that's not how we do it. We stand on the word of God. And when Moses got weak, when he was in the wilderness dealing with the complaining and the frustrations of the children of Israel while they were in the land of bondage, the land of Egypt, what did God tell Moses? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he told him to stand still and know that I am God. And all this just goes all through my spiritual being. He says, I am that I am. He says it, that settles it. There is no controversy. There is no competition. The sovereign has spoken. And God utilizes the same manifestation here and now as he did in that period of time. And here he says, 8 verse, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That means that God is a universal and awesome God. He says that he rains upon the just, because see, sometimes the just think they're justifiable, honey. They think they're justifiable all in themselves. No, the only righteousness, the only justification that we have is through Jesus Christ. It's not through our work. It's not through our image. It's not through our self-righteousness. No, the only righteousness of God is the righteousness through Jesus Christ. For all of our righteousness, let's get this straight, filthy rags. Filthy rags serve a purpose. Well, they let you know they cleaned up something, okay? But no, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And when we continue to understand the importance of keeping that stature in place, we will be unmovable, unshakable, and indefeatable. Now, let's go to the 9th verse. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. That means they're covered. For he that dwelleth in the secret place, Psalms 91 says it, of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I love in Psalms 91 when he said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, we don't care what it is, what virus, what infection it is, shall come nigh thy dwelling. That means our bodies are the dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. God promises protection, immunity, protection, safeguarding. Okay, so let's get that straight. Even to our bodies, our households, our families, and within our intermediate network. He promised us that. So God's promises are true. He said before one dot or one jot be changed, heaven and earth will pass away. This far, this record is still in existence, so nothing has changed or been fragmented. He says, and they will know that thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And know that. Jesus said, seek ye first. Write this down for the record. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these things, all the things you've been praying about, desiring to see manifest in your life. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he, not them, he shall give you the desires of your heart. And this is evidence. This is truth, divine truth, made plain, so plain, a child couldn't err. Let's go to the 11th verse. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion, declare among the people his doings. Zion is considered the temple of the holy place. That means amongst believers, proclaim his greatness. Even to those who are unbelievers, still proclaim his greatness. This oftentimes will be the mechanism that will bring people to repentance, that will bring people to understanding that God is alive and he's well. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembers there where he has not forgotten the cry of the humble. You know what? God said in his word, touch not my anointed. You want to get God angry? Speak against his children. Speak against his anointed, his elect men, his elect women. Talk about us. Try to slander our names. Set up plots against us. God will tear apart everything you have to get to you. Because you know what? He doesn't play when it comes to his children. You know, when Moses went before the witness of the Egyptians, before Pharaoh had men of great posture in his company. He even had those with him for using debaucherous practices, dark arts, enchantment, witchcraft, all of these things sitting right there. And you know what? He wanted to show Moses that, you know what, I got power in my hands. Look at who I have in my camp. It said when that sorcerer stabbed and hit it on the ground and turned to a serpent, you know what God did through Moses? Moses struck his staff on that ground. Moses' staff turned to a serpent and ate up the serpent of the one who utilized enchantment. Mm-mm. Don't play. Don't play with God's people. Please don't do that. Don't gamble with your life. Don't do that. Don't gamble with your livelihood. Because if we're in error, God will deal with us and correct us. You don't have the power to do it. You're standing on shaky ground to try to dismember a true child of God who's going about their father's business. And then, you know, Pharaoh still didn't have enough. Moses, in his cumbersome mannerism, said, God said to you, let my people go. He wouldn't do it. What happened? The plague of flies. The plague of locusts ate up and tore up all the agricultural of the agrarian provisions that was in the land of Egypt. God said, let my people go. He wouldn't do it. Plague of frogs contaminated everything. You could smell them. And you could imagine the deprecation of amphibious creatures on dry land. Now, come on now. That was unbearable. But Pharaoh still wouldn't do it. His heart was hard, and he's determined. He's going to prove he's a bigger and better man, and that he believed in Orpheus, Osiris, and all these various deities. Those deities were dumb idols. They couldn't do anything. The God of Moses was the only alive and sovereign presence in that land at that time. But Pharaoh's heart was so hard. He had so been indoctrinated with false doctrine, the doctrine of devils. He didn't care. And what happened? You wouldn't let the people go? He said, all right then. Here comes the death of the firstborn. That's another plague. Took all the firstborn males. Still wouldn't do it. Rivers turned to blood. See, so God perpetuated the 10 plagues upon them because he wouldn't bow down and release the children of Israel. You think God plays now? Do you really think? Don't you even go there with me and with yourself. Don't kid yourself to fool yourself. He still stands sovereign over his work. The scriptures even tell us God watches over his work to perform it. Well, Egypt surely got beat down. And for the last final time, God said, let us go out of this land. And here Pharaoh with his debaucherous self said, let them go. We're going to go behind them and kill them. Don't you know you're a fool to attempt to tempt God and to mess with his people? God just told Moses, take that rod, and the Red Sea will divide. You and the children of Israel, you'll go from this side. There will be dry land for you to walk upon. And you're going to walk from here, from the land of bondage to the land of freedom. Just go. And here the children of Israel, they walked the walk as Moses talked the talk. And they got to the other side. And here come the enemy sneaking behind God's children. And the moment they got in the midst, that God commanded those waters to come together and swallowed them up. The land of Egypt almost got wiped off the face of the planet. And then, you know, behind that, Pharaoh finally recognized, you know what? We're leaving them alone because their God is the all-powerful God. And look what a common man was able to do through the power of God. There's something to that. Just leave them alone. And sometimes God has to beat folks down about you to make them leave you alone. And it shouldn't take all that. But let's go back to the next scripture. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, that thou liftest me up from the gates of death. What was David saying? You know, when he said, Lord, continue to be a protection for me, an encouragement for me, because, Lord, for some reason, there's people who don't like me, don't know me, but don't like me. They give me a feeling of insecurity. And we know that, of course, I know many of you are saying, but look what David did. He went with a married woman. He knew that Bathsheba belonged to another. Well, yes, that's true. But man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And he fell into temptation. Yes, he did. But who could judge him but God? Mm-mm. No, because God had anointed this man who took down a Philistinian giant, a regional bully who wiped out armies by himself while the Philistinian army stood behind him. We're talking about Goliath. So you know that when David was a teenager, he was not even introduced into the full artillery enhancement of combat. And you know that when he looked at that big 9-foot giant who weighed over 500 pounds, and he looked at him and he said, you know what? This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. But you know that there had to be something behind this man. And it was the power of God. The power of God got into that slingshot. The smooth stone stuck into that giant's head. And here is the word of testimony. David went and began the giant and took it back as living. So you know God was with this man. God had plans for him. And Saul became angry and envious because why? You know, he acknowledged the fact and he was glad that Goliath was gone, so he didn't have anything more to worry about in the way of competition. But what happened was that he couldn't take the fact that God had chosen David to become the appointed and anointed king of Israel. He couldn't take it because he knew that he was going to be removed. But, you know, Saul wasn't being removed because he was much older than David or he had got tired of the position. Saul had backslid from where he was. He no longer would pray to God and trust God. He trusted the insights of mystics, of those who work enchantment. He was going to soothsayers. He was going to people that were dealing with occultism, getting information from them. God wasn't pleased with that. And let me tell you something. Old Prophet Samuel was gone, all gone, translated, long time ago. God became so angry with Saul when he wanted him to repent of what he did. He allowed the spirit of Samuel to come back and to speak to Saul concerning these things. Now, God can do that. You know, they're not like this fake stuff, this paranormal witness and all these things we see over the, you know, the television here and today. No, this was the real deal. God sent him back to speak to Saul. But Saul was so far gone, he didn't want to turn back. He just wanted to move David out of the way because he didn't want to give up the throne. But it didn't work. So know this, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And this man was going to be removed. And so be it. He says this, that I may show forth all the praise in the gate of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. He says, God, I'm going to thank you for my deliverance already, because I trust that you will. I have made my petition known or my request known, and I know that you will answer me. He didn't know when. He didn't know how. He didn't even know the way that God would answer him, but David trusted because he was the king. The king, before he was crowned, he had to go through the process. He had to, because why? Position sometimes requires a lot. And God wants to instill to the fact that you know where your position came from. You know where your exaltation and your promotion came from. And some of us are going through that stage now. God's about to break through the eternal and pour out financial miracles in our lives to cover up. But we have to go through some rough stuff because, you know, we need to be able to understand where it comes from, and it comes from him. And this is what happened. He says, what? The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made in their net, which they hid in their own foot taken. That means those who plotted against me, that hoped for my demise and hoped against me, they have already been removed. You've already moved them. Sometimes we wonder why this person left? Why did this person get removed? God is moving the barriers out of your life. And sometimes we don't even know it. We take people there for all the right reasons and seasons, but they're not. But they're not. And God removes them to ensure our safety. That's right. The Lord is known by his judgment, which he executed. The wicked is snared in the ways of their own hands. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Let them sit up in their quiet meetings in their little hidden corners and devise their hidden agendas. God will tear up the agenda, destroy the meeting, and disband the group that was going to cause confusion and problematic circumstances. He said all their high places, it doesn't matter who they are, where they are, he said he'll bring them down. Remember when Joshua took the battle of Jericho, people were laughing at him, and Jericho, you know, was going to be a hideous battle, and they just knew that the children of Israel was just going to faint, they're going to fall, they're going to lose. What did Joshua do? He could have been scared and ran. He could have went to another city and said, I don't want nothing to do with this. But no, he fought the battle of Jericho. What about that wall seven times? And the seventh time, seven represents the completeness of God's manifestational presence, of his miracle presence in your life. And that wall came tumbling down. And all children of Israel had to do was just go in and possess the land. That's right. That's all they had to do. The wicked, the Lord is known by his judgment. He said he is snaring the work of his own hands. Higion, Selah. That means downtrodden, removed. Selah. Greatness, peace. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Ooh. And all the nations that forget God. You wonder, you look at America. And I've said this once, I'm going to say it again. Until America, from the highest office in the land all the way to the local communities and establishments, falls on his face and ask forgiveness from God, we're going to continue to see the denigration of our society. But to those of us who will uphold the name of Jesus, God is going to preserve us. He's going to continue to protect us and shield us from all manner of evil, disease, plague, famine, destitution. God is going to protect us and provide for us. But this land needs to heal. And listen, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, God said that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then when I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal the land. But people got to realize there's something wrong. It's not natural occurrences. Repentance needs to come into fruition. And that's the message that we need to continue to bring forth and to pray. That's right, that repentance becomes evident and a revival throughout the land takes place. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. God is raising up and insurrecting in time that we're living in the last and evil era of mankind's existence on the earth. You like it, fine. You don't like it, you don't change nothing because it's already written. And if you read the word of God and compare what's going on now, it doesn't take a PhD or a rocket scientist mentality to see these things. He's raising many of us up to be end time financiers, to not only take care of our financial obligations, but to take care of financial obligations of others and to finance this work. This gospel has to be preached on every continent to reach all levels of society, all levels of humanity. Everybody's going to have to hear this good news message that Jesus Christ is the answer for what ails the world today. He is the one that is in power, and that through his power, we become more than conquerors through him that loved us. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. It means, Lord, continue to purge us from these evil presences, these evil doers, these non-believers, these fakers and takers, and these false prophets, and these false teachers. Lord, please, because it's unbearable, the things that they are doing to those who are of the circumcision but may be confused. Lord, continue to empower us with the ability to speak the truth and move every negative force away from us. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That means to become men. Stop idolizing various individuals that are in the performance arts categorical association of society. Stop idolizing these people because they have certain talents. God gives us all talents, but unless those talents are to enhance and move mankind forward into the way that is pleasing to God, it's done in vain. God does not want us to adore, worship, or give any level of idolatry or practices of idolatry to mankind. He is the Lord our God, and he is a jealous God. And thank God for the power of the Psalms, Psalms 9. We're going to Psalm 10 next week. Listen, have a blessed, glorious, victorious, miracle-filled week. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You've got your hope. The Esquire Abby A. Phelps knows the most. Cindy Mahalani saying, you can do all things through Christ, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me and strengthens you too. And have a blessed, prosperous, and productive week. And we'll pick you back up again on Manna of Restoration, God's finest for the finest of God's people. Enjoy the week and be blessed.